May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to read a few verses from Romans 16, and I want you to pay attention to how many times the phrase in Christ or in the Lord is mentioned. And it gives you some insight into Paul's worldview, his perspective, how he viewed reality. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only did I give thanks, but also for all the churches, the Gentiles. And greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, which is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who are also in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved, in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ, and greet those who are the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphaena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. That's always been a remarkable set of scriptures to me, because you remember what Paul said about himself at the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he referred to himself as a man in Christ. Now, Paul never says phrases like, when they became a Christian, when they were born again, when they got saved. He always referenced, if you're a Christian, you're in Christ or you're in the Lord. And then he says things about their workers in the Lord. He doesn't say they're workers for the Lord. They're workers in the Lord. They live in the realm. To be in Christ again, to be in the Lord, means that your salvation happened because you were placed into the life that Jesus, into the very life of Jesus, and the life that he lives, and the lifestyle that he lives, and the agenda that he has. And he lives all that through us. That's how you got saved. You got placed into Christ and the life he lives and the agenda he has for each day and for your life lived out through you. And so again, Paul, whenever he thought of himself, he thought of himself as someone through whom Christ lived. That he was the sphere in which Jesus lived, and his life was the sphere in which Jesus carried out his agenda. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's not a special deluxe Christian who figured it out when they go to a conference. That's true about every single Christian, whether they know it or not. They don't work for the Lord. They work in that Lord. They're therefore living and working from the Lord, which is a big difference. But there are a couple of things here that have always blessed me, ministered to me so much, because you hear me talk about a lot, because I see it so much now, even more than ever before, that Christians struggle. Every struggle that a Christian has starts with the issue of them not really understanding their identity in Christ. Every struggle. I don't care what it is. Well, yeah, but they're giving in this particular sin. That's because they don't understand who they are in Christ. So every struggle that a Christian has its roots in their not understanding who they are in Christ. You know, like we talked about Sunday, those of you who may not have been here Sunday, how Samuel said to Saul, you see yourself as little in your eyes. And that was a root issue behind his life of compromise. He was trying to do something about that, how insignificant he saw himself, how inadequate or whatever he saw about himself, even though he was the largest, tallest man in all of Egypt, of Israel. When Samuel even said to all the people, it's obvious why God would choose him. He stuck out like a sore thumb, and yet he thought of himself through the lens of inadequacy, his fallenness, weakness, whatever it might be. And so Paul demonstrated what we talked about, that you can never, as a Christian, see yourself through your eyes. You have to see yourself through his eyes. See yourself through the lens that you're in Christ. It changes everything about you. It changes your total identity. It changes your ability. It changes your plans, your agenda, everything about your life. What he says about Apelles and Rufus, I love the fact that there's a guy in the scripture named Rufus. In verse 10, he says, "Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ." Now notice that he doesn't say, "Greet Apelles, who's been approved in Christ." He gives Apelles a title, and the title is the approved in the Lord, or the approved in Christ. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Now, I don't know why Paul used that phrase, that title over Apelles. My curiosity, the teacher part of me, thinks that that's true about every Christian. But he said that about Apelles because I think that probably was part of Apelles' testimony. Someone with a horrible self-image. Now, everybody's born with a horrible self-image apart from Christ. But some people, it affects their life more. And if there's enough rejection in their life and enough self-abuse through self-rejection in their life, it can be very destructive. And I believe that Apelles, when he came to Christ and he came into union with Christ, that was such a radical change for him. He was so set free from a false identity, the fallen self, and so set free from all the brokenness that comes from self-rejection and maybe the rejection of others, that Paul called him the approved in the Lord. And the word approved means just what it means. It means someone who's totally accepted, has been received and celebrated. I love that. That's who you are. That's one of the titles over your head if you're a Christian, the approved in the Lord. But when he says about Rufus, he says, greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord. When you go to the store and they grade certain things, if it says choice, it means it's high quality. And he says about Rufus, greet Rufus, choice, a high quality man. Why? Because he's in the Lord. These are powerful truths about us. And it's possible that maybe in your life you've experienced rejection, or you've lived in the realm of a lot of rejection and brokenness and abandonment and, you know, all kinds of issues and divorces and breakups and that kind of stuff. And you've experienced a lot of self-rejection. You struggle a lot with self-consciousness. You don't like what you think about yourself, what you see in the mirror. Again, you can't afford to have one thought about you that God doesn't have about you. And what God says about you is that you're in Christ. And therefore, you're the approved in Christ. You're high quality in Christ. That's who you are. You're as approved as Jesus is. You're in him. You are of as much choice quality as Jesus is because you're in him. That's the truth about you, that you are a choice man, choice woman, choice boy, or choice girl in the Lord. You're the approved in Christ, choice in Christ. Anything else that you think about yourself other than what I just said is a lie from the enemy. And you should reject that lie with as much ferocity as you would if this whisper came into your head and said, you know, you're going to go to hell one day. Or would say to you, you know, God's not really real. You would reject that in a moment. But any negative thought you have about who you are, Christ is your self-image. Who he is as a choice, quality, high-quality person, that's your self-image. Who he is as approved, celebrated, accepted is who you are. And you have to become ruthless about not listening to anything other. This is from Deuteronomy 7. I mean, how many times do people entertain things like the enemy telling them what a mess they are, what a failure they are? Those are lies. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land represents spirit-filled living. The land represents walking in the Spirit. The land of promise, Canaan, represents our life abiding in Christ. Christ living his life through us. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall defeat them. Then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show them no mercy. Well, that's true about the reject yourselfites and the hate yourselfites. You hear me? Any thought about yourself that doesn't sound like what the Father feels and thinks about Jesus, you need to stop and utterly destroy that thought and show no mercy on it. It's just as heinous and just as much from the pit of hell as if it was somebody said, you had a thought that says God doesn't exist. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.